Zakt Shlomo HaMelech, again in Shir HaShirim in Perek Hey, Ani Yishena V'Libiyer, Koil Doidi Doifek Pischili, Achoisi Rayosi Yoinosi Samosi, Shenroishi Nimla Tol, Ukvutsoisai Risise Loila. I was asleep, but my heart was awake. A sound, my beloved one, is knocking upon. Oh, is knocking. Open your heart to me. The groom is calling out to the bride, Hashem to the Jew. Open your heart to me, my sister, my wife, my dove, my perfection. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks of hair with the rain of night. Yeah.
And I won't use the word hatred or anything, but it becomes totally irrelevant. That's what I would use. But on the contrasting side, the polarity could be so strong that instead of being a distinct opposite, it becomes so intertwined with you that it's practically is you. The emotions and everything become so powerful that you feel that there's hardly anything eluding you.
That, you're 100% right. And that is the power of it. That is the unique power of it. When there's a good marriage and there is that unity you're talking about, where you feel you become one with your wife, there is a special flame, a special flyer, because it's two distinct human beings becoming one. Of course, I'm not saying that you have to remain detached. They become one, but who is becoming one? It's not you becoming one with yourself. It's you becoming one with somebody outside of you, with somebody different than you. And you becoming one with that creates a major tension. And when that tension is utilized in a productive way, it becomes an explosive love. That's the idea. They become one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a husband and wife, a lot of times that passion intertwined with love will make you overlook the faults of a spouse and something else which isn't there by a
okay,
spouse.
Fine.
So that maybe that's something which makes it more attractive. The power of that passion is able, you're never able to overlook the faults of a spouse or a father and a son or anything because that love is so pure. But
right.
Between husband and wife, it's so powerful and you're able to put that totally.
Right, yeah. Yeah, okay.
So. That's not overnight what you're talking about. That could take.
Of course. It's work. Of course. Yeah. To develop this 100%, to develop a relationship with a brother and a sister doesn't take work. It's born. It's who you are. You don't have to work to have a relationship with yourself. You don't have to work to have a relationship with your sister, with a spouse. It's created. It's a relationship of trust. Okay. Now, in these words, Shlomo HaMelech describes our relationship with Hashem both as a sibling and as a spouse. Open up your heart for me, my sister, my wife. My dove, my complete one. And as we shall soon see, these are the four loves the Alter Rebbe is describing to us here in these chapters. There is our relationship to Hashem as a sister. Pischili achoisi. Hashem is my brother and I'm a sister. What's the relationship of the Jew to Hashem as a sister? That essentially, innately, we're godly. Man inherently is a sacred and a spiritual creature. Godliness is intrinsic to the Jew's composition. My brother and my sister are part and parcel of my chemistry, of my makeup, of my biological makeup, my physiological makeup, my psychological makeup. inherent to this same makeup, the ecological and spiritual makeup of the Jew, is godliness. Godliness shtekt in ayid, is embedded, is etched in the Jewish psyche. This relationship is constant. It's immutable. It's consistent. But in this relationship, which includes the instinctive love, the Ava Mesutera is described in chapter 18, 19, 25, 38, 39. It includes the love described in chapter 44, Hashem is my soul, Hashem is my father. Whether you appreciate your father, you understand your father, but he's your father. She's your mother. Yeah, your father and your mother.
Which makes
it really complicated, you're saying. You really can't escape them. You really can't escape them, right?
You escape that
as well. Right.
You don't feel escape. You feel the infinite love coming upon
you. It's essential, it's innate, and it's constant. But in this relationship, the feeling of the Jew is, I have Hashem. We're buddies. We're pals. It's my brother, my sister. We're one. You know, we know each other from way back. When do you first discover your spouse? When you're 25, when you're 30, whatever it is. Your brother, your sister, you discovered when you were still crawling around, when you were still in your crib. It's innate to you. And therefore there's a certain constancy, there's a certain endurance to it. Zokt Hashem pischili achaisi rayasi. I don't only want you as a sister, I want you as a wife. In the Alter Rebbe's words, lahagdil meduras ha'ava. I want with you a romance, a passion, a relationship, not just like a brother to a sister, but like a husband to a wife. And this can only happen through Avas Olam, not through any other love. When I reflect and I remember, even if it takes a lot of meditation, like in the loves of chapter 44, that Hashem is part of me, so the love that it arouses may be deep, may be eternal, may be very special, and so on and so forth, but nevertheless, it's similar to the placid love between a brother and a sister. But then there is where you become Hashem's spouse. And just like in the relationship of spouses, that they're initially strangers, Ava Soilam is, I'm a stranger. I'm detached. I don't know about Hashem. I'm a member of the physical, corporal world called Earth. I have a big ego and a big animal soul. That's what I know about. And then suddenly I start looking at the world. I look at the earthiness of the world. And I search for the counterpart of the world. I look, who is the spouse of the world? Who is my spouse? I'm searching for the energy of the world, for the truth of the world, for the depth of the world, for the source of the energy. For the energy, which we call the divine utterance, and then for the source of the energy, which is beyond the divine utterance. And suddenly you come to discover that source, that spouse, there's an outburst of passion. When the Jew reflects, what is godliness? What is truth? What is reality? And where am I? And what is my reality? When he compares what is the world and what is godliness? What is the piece of cheesecake in Alter Rebbe's metaphor in chapter 43? What is the physical pleasure versus godliness? He suddenly experiences a new love. This is a love that's fueled through the void, through the feeling that I don't have you. Not from the sameness, but from the otherness. Like in a good marriage, the Jew becomes crazy about Hashem, yearning to be close to Him. They tell about the Kotzke Rebbe, I mentioned him before, that when he was, once Chassidim of the Kotzke Rebbe met a Yid, he was a simple Jew, but he went to Cheder with the Rebbe of Kotzke when he was a child. So they said, do you remember anything unique about him? He said, I only remember that he was a troublemaker. And he had a lot of chutzpah. I mean, that's what I remember. is it anything like spiritually? He said, no, he's a troublemaker. The teacher told him, you know, you're going to grow up to be a good for nothing and no good is going to come out of you. He says, one thing I remember, he says, once our teacher took us like Boimer to the field. And we were playing a game, shooting shooting the arrows, bow and arrow, yeah. And playing some other games. And when we were ready to go home, the teacher looked to, you know, examine the class, and he was gone. Little Mendel was gone. So he sent me to find him. So he said, I went to search for him. And I hear, I had to walk far, and suddenly I hear his voice, and I run over, and I see he's down on the earth, totally prostrated, down on the earth, and he's singing and screaming, Libi ufsari yiranenu al keil chai. My heart and my flesh are dancing, are melting away to the living God. What's the Libi of Sari Iranu al Kailchai? The Rambam brought before it. This doesn't come because I feel that Hashem is my pal. The otherness, the distinction, the remoteness attracts him. That, the alienation, the distance, the gulf, the separation, that creates the explosion of affection, an endless affection towards Hashem. When I feel that Hashem is not me, I look at my world, I look at my ego, I look at my craving, and I say, what is the truth? The truth is so far from me. The truth is that the reality of reality is godliness. The characters in our metaphor, the character of the novel is sitting in the bar, taking a drink, minding his own business, and he hears footsteps and he begins sweating. And then the man whose footsteps he heard comes into the bar and he's reduced to nothingness. And who walked in? The author. When the author walks in, his perception has changed forever. Suddenly he realizes, wow, I don't have an identity save the stroke of the pen of the author. So he was invested in his own identity, and suddenly he comes to realize, I'm part of the author's identity. That's who I am. And that transformation, that's what Avasalam is. Avasalam is the Jew looks at himself and then he says, my whole reality that I'm invested in and I instinctively feel really has no reality outside of godliness. And he goes on and sketches it further to Soiviv Kalalman and Kula Kamei Kalei Chashiv. That creates a thirst, a yearning. That tension creates a very deep love. If you're in water, you can't be thirsty for water. When you're in the desert, you're thirsty for water. And you explode in love. And this tension and this energy is unparalleled in other forms of spiritual inspiration. On this love, the Alter Rebbe says, Rishapeh Rishveyesh. This is Shalheves Aza, Lava Oila Hashamaima. Fire. The difference between the relationship to a sibling and the relationship to a spouse is fire and water. Fire is cool. Water is cool. Fire is hot. But not only that. Water you can contain. Water can be contained in a cup, in a vessel. Fire can't be contained. Give it everything it needs. Sinish diruyik, it's not going to be content. So Chassidus puts it like this. Alter Rebbe writes, fire remains eternally frustrated. It yearns to reach beyond itself. And on what does the fire live? On being frustrated. That is its core. That's what it gets its sustenance from. Fire is frustrated with the material that it is connected to. With the wick, with the log, with the twig, whatever it's burning up. It's frustrated and therefore it's yearning to destroy it, to nullify it, to get out of it. And that itself nourishes the fire. You put in more wood and the fire continues. Because the fire lives off its void, its yearning, its frustration. And these are the two loves. The love to Hashem as my sister thrives on my feeling of closeness, intimacy, of closeness, of a kinship, of a natural kinship. It thrives on the feeling that I have God. I'm godly, I'm spiritual. Avas Olam thrives on the frustration, on the void. I want to escape my situation. I want to burn up my reality and reach into the other reality. On this love, the Alter Rebbe says, Shlomo HaMelech says in Shir HaShirim, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu Lechabes Es Ha'ava Unaharis Lo Yishtefua. The great waters cannot extinguish it, and the rivers cannot quench it. Now here he doesn't explain what he means, but in another discourse it's explained that what the Alter Rebbe means here is, the great waters and the rivers, what is he talking about? Which powerful waters strive to destroy it? These are the waters of the animalistic soul, of the egotistical inclination, of the self-centered beastly cravings. Zagdal to Rebbe elsewhere. Following, let's say, during davening, or during some time throughout the day, you arouse within yourself your instinctive spirituality, your Ava Mesuteris, the spirituality innate in a person. And you feel good. And it happens to every Jew. It can happen on Shabbos. It can happen in Yom Kippur. It can happen in the middle of a Shacharis. If you work on it, you tune into it. You get inspired from the innate spirituality embedded in the Jewish soul. After davening, there is no problem. And what happens is that the animal soul should crave a good chocolate Danish right afterwards. You were just melting away in godliness. But 10 minutes later, you finish davening, you go to breakfast, and you devour it like an animal. Why? The animal soul didn't change. It didn't change. Not only didn't change, the Alter Rebbe says, it became even stronger because it's on a high. Since the davening was so good, the divine soul was on a high, the animal soul was also on a high. And its high is expressed in physical cravings. And since you didn't change its essence, so it remains animalistic. Avas, and therefore when the Mayim Rabim come along, they can extinguish that love. Why? Because it's the love of the divine soul. The animal soul hasn't been affected. I'll tell you a story I once heard. Maybe I shared this with you once. You know that the Baal Shem Tov, there was a man who would come daily to the minyan of the Baal Shem Tov in Mezheburj, and he was an alcoholic. He was a shikr. He was an intoxicated individual who would drink and drink and drink. He did that for a profession. And he would come to the Baal Shem Tov's davening every day, which took a few hours. They said, what are you coming to the Baal Shem Tov's davening for? And he used to say, when the Baal Shem Tov finishes davening, my craving to alcohol becomes so deep and so powerful. Now when I drink the vodka or the scotch, it's really enjoyable. So Chassidim explained the story. What's the meaning of this? The meaning is cravings, we know, are very powerful. Impulses, urges, they're very consuming. But as consuming as they are, they're finite. They're limited. Why? Because they're worldly and everything in the world is limited. But the Baal Shem Tov's davening had a spark of infinity. So this person, like a parasite, fed off the infinity and he used it for the craving for alcoholism. And it was a whole different party afterwards. The L'chaim afterwards, that was a L'chaim. It had infinity. So as the contrary, the Alter Rebbe always warns about this. During davening, you're on a high towards godliness. Was your animal soul touched a drop? Or right after davening, when you'll see a good piece of food, or you'll come to your business and there'll be something involving your money, your bank account, your ego, your honor, your pride, it's all over. Your animal soul becomes even stronger because you feel good. That's Avas Olam. Avas Olam is a worldly love. Avas Olam is a worldly love. It comes from the world within you and within the world. in the Ava Mesuteris and the natural love. The godliness in you is excited about Hashem. And therefore, when the worldliness in you is aroused, you have no relationship with Hashem. In Avas Olam, the worldliness in you is taken by Hashem. Your earthiness is taken by Hashem. Your otherness, your lowliness, your regular day-to-day life is taken by Hashem. That's what fuels Avas Olam. Your otherness is excited by Hashem. In other words, the natural love attracts the Yid of the Jew. Avas Olam attracts the Id of the Jew. We all have the Id and we have beneath it the Yid. Now, Shlomo HaMelech says in Shir HaShirim, Dr. Rebbe quotes a verse in Shir HaShirim, so we're dealing with Shir HaShirim this evening, the beginning of chapter 8, the last chapter. Mi yitencha ka'achli yoynik shdeimi, em tza'acha b'chutz eshakcha gam lo yavuzuli. If only you were as a brother to me, who nursed at my mother's breast. When I would find you in the streets, I would kiss you and no one would scorn me. So the Tzemach Tzedek, the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek writes in his discourses on Shir HaShirim, that this is a request of the Jewish people to Hashem, Mi yitencha ka'achli, if you would only be like a brother to me. What does this mean? So the Medrash writes on this pasuk. He brings the Medrash. You remember the story? There was a brother who lived in Miron, and he had a sister who lived in Gush Chalav, both in the Galil of Eretz Yisrael. A fire broke out in the brother's home, and his sister came from Gush Chalav to see how he's doing. The Medrash Rabbah. And his sister came into him, and megafafto, mechabakto, menashakto. His sister embraced him, took him around and kissed him. And she said, "Les dam avadale, I'm not embarrassed. Because he's my brother. If he would be my husband, I wouldn't do it. But he's my brother, I can do it." And the Medrash compares it to Moshe and Aaron. Vayelech vayivgisheyu bahara elakim vayishakloi. Moshe was coming from Midian back to Egypt. And Aaron met him and they kissed outside. A brother emtza'acha b'chutz eshakacha. When you meet your brother or your sister outside, Zok the Medrash, you can kiss them and nobody will scorn you. And the Alshich writes, the Tzemach Tzedek brings it on the Pasuk, if a husband and a wife do that in public, it's immodest, it's improper. But if a brother and a sister do it in public, it's natural, because they're one. It's innate. There's no novelty, there's nothing unusual, there's no unique passion happening. It's a brother and a sister. One second. Let's just. This is what the Jewish people are telling to Hashem, Mi yitencha ka'achli, if you would only be my brother. Because Avas Olam, the love to Hashem as a wife, is extraordinary. It's gewaldic. It's awesome. But it can't always happen. And the reason it can't always happen is because to develop Avas Olam, you have to be in the position where you can understand godliness well. And in the position of that understanding should translate into a feeling. So when I am in the Holy Land, when I am in Eretz Yisrael, when I am in a sacred transcendental oasis, I can be Hashem's wife, and Hashem can be my husband, or conversely. But when I enter into Egypt, or when I enter into Philistine, when I'm on the road, and one doesn't have that sensitivity and that ability to develop the spouse relationship with Hashem, in order to remain inspired, Avas Olam is not going to work. So you have to fall back on the fact that Hashem is not only your wife, Hashem is your sister. You have to fall back on the natural, innate love of the soul to Hashem, which maybe doesn't have the fiery fire, but has the consistency that it's always there. Imri na'achaisiyat. And that's the key to survival at those moments, remembering Hashem is not only your spouse, Hashem is a sibling. We're sacred not just because we can meditate and come to discover godliness and really understand it, but because essentially we are godly human beings. And I think one can add that what Chassidus says is, I think, very powerful advice even for a marriage here on earth. There are moments in every marriage where the passion is burning. And those are the beautiful moments. When you wake up in the morning and you say, thank God for giving me, thank you Hashem for giving me this human being in my life. But then there are moments you come home from work and you're stressed and you're hungry and some other things may be going on in your life and there's no passion really. And for some people, marriage can unfortunately become a frustrated burden. And you look and you say, Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, from all people, I had to end up with this one. And this is very natural. And this is called a time of famine. You're starving for a deeper love and it's not there. How do you deal with it? You have to remember at that moment that your wife is not only your wife. Your wife is also your sister. You're not kind to your sister and you don't share with your sister. And you're not one with your sister only because you're in the mood for your sister. Whether you're in the mood for your sister or you're not in the mood for your sister, she is your sister. You are essentially one. And this is true in a marriage. It says in Zayah Vayikra, a famous statement of Reb Shimon, that Tchar b'loy nukva is pla gufa. Man without a woman and the woman without a man is a half a body because essentially they're one soul. So there's also not just the spouse relationship but also the sibling relationship. This is the request of the Jews to Hashem. Meyitencha ka'achli. They're begging Hashem that the love we can develop sometimes to you as a spouse should be as consistent as the love we have to a brother. No, no. Tzemach Tzedek even writes, another few minutes. Tzemach Tzedek even writes that this is the deeper Hasidic interpretation in Parshas Ba'aloyscha. Vayishma Moshe sa'am boichel u'mishpachosav. Moshe heard the people weeping in their family groups. And Hashem was very upset. So the Gemara says, al iske mishpachis al arayis anasaris lahem. What does it mean that Moshe saw the people weeping in their family groups? That the Jews were frustrated by the family laws that regulated permissible relationships. Al iske arayis anasaris lahem. They were mourning the fact that they were forbidden to have immoral relationships. Arayis. Relationships with a brother, with a sister, with a mother, with a father, with a grandfather, with a grandmother. So Tzemach Tzedek explains, the Jews in the desert, the Chassidus elevates them to another level. They weren't interested in arayis and cravings. They wanted me tencha ka'achli. Usually, our relationship with Hashem as a spouse has a problem. It's inconsistent. It could never be eternal because it's not innate. It's not inborn. It has to be created and generated. It's not part of who I am. They wanted to have the passion coupled with the consistency in their spiritual relationship with Hashem, and therefore would be reflected here on earth also in marriage. That you would, who would be your spouse? Somebody you're essentially connected to. But Hashem didn't make it that way. Hashem made it that the love between a husband and a wife is not like the love between a brother and a sister. It can come and it can go. They wanted me, tencha ka'achli. We should have avas olam and be able to have avas olam always. That's the uniqueness of avas olam. So these are the four loves in Tanya. Koil doidi doifek, pischili, achoisi, rayosi, Yoinosi samosi. Achosi, my sister, is the instinctive love. You're instinctively in love with your sister and with your brother because they're part of your psyche, they're part of your chemistry. That's the love of the world of Yetzirah. Rayasi, open up your heart, my wife. My wife is not part of me. My wife is distinct. My wife is another human being, and we create a love, and it's our distance and our essential alienation that fuels it and gives it its nuclear intensity. Avasailam. Yoinasi, my dove. Ava batanugim. We discussed in chapter 43 in Shir HaShirim, it says continuously, Einecha yoinim, your eyes are like a dove. Zagdal terebin lukut atayra, that the female and the male dove gaze at each other for hours on end. They don't get enough of looking at each other. That's ava batanugim. It's not a love of yearning, it's a love of quelling. You just melt away, you're glued to your beloved one and you don't need anything else. That is, you're satiated with that. Yoinasi, that's ava rabba. That's Atzilus. So Achaisi Yitzire Rayasi Briya Yedasi Atzilus. Tamasi, my perfected one, is the love that encompasses Ava Soilom and Ava Rabba. The love of chapter 44, which he said has within it a dimension of Yitzire and of Briya and of Atzilus, my perfected one. However, it still lacks that passion and that flame that can only be experienced in Ava Soilom because of the distance. And that's why the Alter Rebbe says you have to go back to Ava Soilom. And he says the advantage of this love is like gold versus silver. Because as Chassidus explains, silver reflects somewhat water, and gold reflects the shade, the color of fire. What is the difference between silver and gold? Not only that gold is more expensive, because If you'll have a larger quantity of silver and a smaller quantity of gold, the silver will be more expensive. And in the metaphor, in the spiritual idea, it's indeed that way. The silver love, which is the innate love, has in it very powerful advantages over the gold-like love. But the uniqueness of gold versus silver is not necessarily that it's more expensive. Even if you have much more silver, that's much more expensive. Gold has a certain glee to it that makes it highly attractive and more attractive than silver. Gold has a certain aristocracy, a certain glow, a certain majesty, a splendor. There are many advantages in silver, but that's what he says. Yesh yisro no maila. There's an advantage in this love, like the advantage of gold over silver. Gold has a certain bren, a certain attraction, rishafer, rishveyesh, that Ava Soilom has. Ava Rabba has many other advantages, but there's a certain splendor that we all know. There's something about gold that silver just doesn't have. It tickles you in a certain way. There's a certain energy to it. Now let's finish the last few lines. It's late. He adds one more word. Vigam and Oso. Till now he discussed the advantage of Ava Soilom because of the experience and the nature of the love. And now he adds that there's one more advantage in Ava Soilom that doesn't exist in many other love. Not only because of the love, but because of the very meditation and reflection. Zagdal to Rebbe Vigam, and also besides, Kizekala Adam Vitachlisoi. This is the whole man and his raison d'etre, his purpose. This is the purpose of man's existence. Leman das es kvoid Hashem, that he come to know the transcendence of Hashem, v'yikar tiferes gdulasai, and the majestic splendor of His greatness, ish, every human being, kefi asher yuchal se'ez, according to the limits of his capacity. But this is the purpose of life, that a person should come to know Hashem. And he brings the source. As is written in Raya Mehemne and Parshas Boy, there are certain sections throughout the Zohar that are called Raya Mehemne, that traditionally were said verbally by Moshe Rabbeinu, the faithful shepherd. So in Rayimem, then Parshas Bo, it says, begin the Yishtamaydin Lei V'chuli, in order that they may know him, etc. Ukenoyde, the Alter Rebbe says, as is known. The Rayim Ahemne there explains that Hashem compressed himself and contracted himself in the form of the 10 spheroids, the 10 emanations. Why? Begin the Yishtamaydunle. Because in order that Hashem, that they may know Hashem. And the Zohar explains there how every single human body reflects the name of Hashem. The head reflects the Yud, and the torso reflects the Vav, and the two palms reflect the two Hays. But essentially the Zohar is saying is that Hashem constructed the world and constructed the creation of the world in a way that we should be able to come to know Him through studying the world. And that's why there's the whole concept of the Sviras. Hashem emitted from Himself, so to speak, 10 characteristics, so that we should be able to come to know godliness, each person according to his own capacity. Nobody will know everything, certainly, but everybody could know something. So the Alter Rebbe says, in addition to the fact, to the result of Avos Olam, the path to Avos Olam is important. And all the other loves, the emphasis is not on knowing godliness. In Avos Olam, that is the emphasis, and therefore, the Alter Rebbe says it's so important to dwell on this love, and that's why the Alter Rebbe created a whole literature in Chassidus to allow people to understand according to their capacity godliness. Not to rely on spontaneous spirituality, not even on instinctive spirituality, not even on the contemplation to arouse the love that Hashem is my soul or that He's my Father, but to understand Kevayochel, the system of godliness. And the Alter Rebbe finishes Kenoide as is known. I'll conclude with a story as usual. Dessert, yeah. As I was preparing the class, this story came to mind. The holy Ruzhin, Rabbi Yisrael of Ruzhin, once comes out of his chamber and he walks into the Beis Medrash. And he sees a chassid who was not from the greater chassidim, davening. He's starting to daven. And it was pretty late in the morning. The prescribed time for prayer has either passed or was soon passing. So the Ruzhin turns to him and he says, "So late, now you're davening." And he rebuked him sharply. So his pupil responds and he says, "Rabbi, I don't understand. I've seen great chassidim who davened during this time. And you haven't rebuked them, you haven't protested against them." And the Ruzhiner says, "Let me tell you a story. There once lived a couple who were very, very poor. The husband would work rigorously, very hard, day in and day out, in order to be able to earn a living to support him and his wife. And he would come home late at night, and had a very difficult life. And each night his wife would present him with the same dinner. And the dinner consisted of a piece of black bread and a boiled potato. That's basically what the few pennies he earned daily can afford. That was basically what they can afford to purchase with the few pennies he earned through his hard labor. One evening he comes home, tired, exhausted, weak. And his wife tells him, supper is not ready. So he waits. He waits a half an hour. He waits an hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. And he's wondering to himself. He was a very respectful and loving human being, but he was wondering to himself, you know, what can be taking so long? Usually I come home, dinner is ready. What can be taking so long? How long does it take to boil a potato? So as he's wondering to himself, he says, I know. My wife wants to surprise me. You know, every evening I suffer with my meager, poverty-stricken meal. She wants to give me as a a real meal that my soul and body should remember. And that is what's taking so much time. She's preparing a gourmet meal that I will not forget for years to come. And he's getting excited. And he's building the excitement within him. And he thinks, what a wonderful wife I have. She must probably saved up money for already a few weeks so that she'd be able to buy extra food. Who knows, maybe she even sold one of her personal items or articles so she'd be able to give me a good meal. And his heart was overflowing with love, with passion, you know, for such a relationship. After 2.5 hours, food comes out. A piece of black bread with a boiled potato. So he turns to her, he says, my dear wife, he's disappointed. For this I had to wait so long. I mean, this he could have had ready when I came home. Why was I waiting for? The Rishonim tells him, he says, listen, the chassidim that daven later on in the day, they wake up early in the morning and for hours and hours they're meditating, reflecting and learning in order to arouse their hearts with spiritual inspiration. The meal they present to Hashem with their davening is a delicious meal. It's spiced with love, with joy, with awe, with deep inspiration. For such a meal, Hashem is ready to wait. He's willing to wait. He's happy about it. But he says, you, with the davening, you're offering, if you're giving Hashem the same piece of black bread and boiled potato, at least do it early in the morning. You know, with this, he doesn't. He says, what were you doing the last few hours? Either you were attending to your own affairs, lazing around, lazing in bed. You're giving him a black potato. You're giving him a black piece of bread and a boiled potato. At least do it in time. This is a well-known Hasidic story, and this is how it was published. A few months ago, I was talking to a Yid, an older Rav, and he tells me, we were talking about this story, he tells me that he heard from old Chassidim that there's another part to the story that's much less known. This Chassid was extremely affected by it, and he related the story to other Chassidim, and it became the talk in Ruzhin, what the Holy Rebbe Yisrael said. I think it was around a certain festival, so there were many guests there, and then it came the time to go travel home. So a group of Chassidim were traveling home, and the outskirts of the city, they reached another city. They came there at night, they went into a local inn, a local tavern, to eat something and to sleep over for the night, and then continue on the journey back home. So as they're eating in the tavern, they're discussing what occurred. There was an old Yid there who was warming himself near the oven. So he overhears an interesting story. He says, what are you talking about? So they tell him, we heard a Gevaldika story from our Rebbe, the Holy Rebbe Yisrael of Ruzhin. And they relate to him the entire story, that there was a chassid who davened late. And he hears the whole story and he says, he's wrong. I disagree with him. If he would have been a real husband, he would have eaten that meal with the same ecstasy, with the same delight. He would have enjoyed it with every fiber of his being. Because since his wife prepared it for him, even though it was late, and even though it wasn't what he expected, but his wife prepared it for him, he would have loved it. They decided to go back to Ruzhin. They went into the Holy Rebbe Yisrael of Ruzhin and they told them what this man said. And his face lit up and he said that the neshama of that Jew came down to the world in order to be melamed zchus, in order to find the positive element in this Jew who davened late. In order to bring out the positive element that if Hashem is a real husband, he enjoys the davening very deeply. Have a wonderful week.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.